Very few people know about the Sassoon family, a Jewish dynasty whose wealth, power, and influence span centuries and continents. Often called the Rothschilds of the East, their story begins in Iraq, where they were prominent bankers for the Ottoman Empire. David Sassoon, the patriarch, was born in 1792 into a family of wealth and influence, with his father serving as treasurer to the governor of Baghdad. The notoriously corrupt governor threatened his life, so he decided to flee Baghdad around 1829 due to persecution and extortion to Persia, and then to British-protected Bombay, India, now called Mumbai, where he became a successful merchant and established a massive trading business focusing on commodities like cotton, textiles, spices, and opium. This marked the beginning of the Sassoon family's immense wealth and influence, establishing them as one of the richest families in the world. In Bombay, David Sassoon leveraged his linguistic skills in Arabic, Hebrew, Persian, Turkish, and later Hindustani, and existing trade networks to establish David Sassoon and Company, capitalizing on opportunities within the British Empire's expanding trade networks. The Sassoons grew opium in India to sell in China, then purchased tea and silk from China to sell in England. Between India and England, trade flowed both ways, where cotton, sugarcane, wheat, and other crops were sent to England, and English manufactured goods would be shipped to India, and profits reinvested to increase opium production, and the cycle would repeat again in a triangular trade. The poppies grown in numerous lush fields in India were processed by the British East India Company's enormous factory, shipped down the Ganges River to Calcutta, and from there transported to China and other parts of Asia. With vast profits to be earned from Chinese and Japanese opium dens, David Sassoon and his 8 sons rapidly expanded their drug dealing business, resulting in endemic drug addiction in China's coastal cities. The Sassoons' rise was deeply intertwined with British colonial interests. After the British East India Company's trade monopoly ended in 1833, private merchants like the Sassoons gained access to lucrative markets. David Sassoon aligned his business with British imperial ambitions, benefiting from the empire's infrastructure, naval power, and political influence. His firm established branches in Calcutta, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and England, creating a global trade network that mirrored the British Empire's reach. The Sassoon family's most significant and controversial role was in the opium trade, which became a cornerstone of their wealth, particularly after the First Opium War from 1839 to 1842, which was fought between Britain and China, triggered by China's attempts to suppress the inflow of opium. China's loss resulted in the Treaty of Nanking, which forced China to legalize opium, open 5 ports to foreign trade, and grant extraterritorial rights to foreigners. This treaty created a lucrative opportunity for the Sassoons. By the 1860s, David Sassoon and Company dominated the opium trade, handling approximately 70% of Indian opium exports to China by outmaneuvering competitors through direct purchases from Indian producers. The opium trade was legal in Britain and widely accepted as a commodity in the 19th century, quoted alongside gold and silver in commercial papers. However, its devastating social impact in China, fueling addiction and economic disruption, contribute to what is now known as China's century of humiliation. the Sassoons' wealth from opium was instrumental in their rise, but also tied them to one of the most morally contentious enterprises of the colonial era. The family's influence extended beyond opium, which financed other ventures, such as building the Sassoon Docks in Bombay in 1875, the first commercial wet docks, boosting India's cotton trade, investing in cotton mills, real estate, and of course, banking. It is at this time when the Sassoons started intermarrying with the Rothschild banking family, merging two of the most prominent Jewish dynasties of the 19th and early 20th centuries, marking a significant union of wealth, influence, and social standing. The Rothschilds, an Ashkenazi Jewish banking family from Frankfurt, were renowned for their international banking network across Europe. The marriage between these families connected their commercial and social networks, reinforcing their positions with global Jewish and aristocratic circles. The most notable marriage occurred on October 19, 1887, when Sir Edward Albert Sassoon, who inherited leadership of David Sassoon & Company after his father's death, married Aline Caroline de Rothschild, daughter of Baron Gustav de Rothschild of the Paris branch of the Rothschild family. This marriage was strategic, consolidating ties between the Sassoons' mercantile empire, rooted in Bombay, Shanghai, and London, and the Rothschilds' financial dominance in Europe. The couple maintained close ties with the British elite, including the Prince of Wales, later King Edward VII, and their marriage produced two children, Philip and Sybil, who further integrated the family into British high society. Philip became a prominent politician, serving as a member of parliament known for his lavish entertaining, and Sybil married Earl of Rocksavage, blending the Sassoon Rothschild lineage with British aristocracy. Rothschild means red shield, a color that was used to describe the ancient Phoenicians. Phoenician comes from the ancient Greek word phoenix, which means red, a term used by the Greeks to refer to the seafaring merchants of that region, particularly those from cities like Tyre. But the Phoenicians referred to themselves as Canaanites, and their alphabet, which is what our modern alphabet is based on, was identical to ancient block Hebrew. In fact, Europe gets its name from Europa, a Phoenician princess from Tyre, the original capital of Phoenicia, 12 miles from the border with modern Israel. That said, Phoenician DNA sequenced from Carthage has been shown to be identical to European. It is in places like ancient Phoenicia where the symbol known as the Seal of Solomon, or Star of David, was prominently used alongside the swastika, both symbols predating Judaism and finding their Kabbalistic origins stemming from among the ancient Aryan Magi, which means magicians, of Chaldea, which is modern-day Iraq, Turkey, Iran, and Mesopotamia. According to Helena Blavatsky, founder of Theosophy, quote, "The mysteries of the Jews were identical with those of the pagan Greeks, who took them from the Egyptians, who borrowed them in their turn from the Chaldeans, who got them from the Aryans, the Atlanteans, and so on." The Sassoons claimed direct Davidic lineage, the ancient Israelite royal bloodline from which Jesus Christ was believed to be descended. One figure, the noted Kabbalist Avraham Sassoon, claimed descent from the fifth son of King David. Cecil Roth, in his book, The Sassoon Dynasty, says, quote, "After it attained prominence, the Sassoon clan endeavored to link itself up with these remote but tempting distinguished homonyms. It assumed that, after the expulsion of the Jews from Spain by the Catholic monarchs in 1492, their ancestors immigrated eastward, first to Salonika, then Constantinople, then to Mesopotamia. Salonika was the primary home of the Donme, a group of crypto-Jews who publicly converted to Islam in the late 17th century, but secretly continued to follow the teachings of the Sabbatean movement and its founder, Sabbatai Zevi, who declared himself Messiah in 1666, declaring redemption was available through acts of sin, including ritualistic orgies and tantric alchemy thought to awaken dormant mystical abilities. Guarded esoteric techniques brought into Europe from the Holy Land by the Knights Templar. When Zevi was imprisoned by the Ottoman Sultan, he was given the choice of conversion to Islam or execution. He chose to convert, and his followers, the Donme, followed suit, converting to Islam publicly, but continuing to practice their Jewish Sabbatean faith in secret. They are considered crypto-Jews, meaning they outwardly adopted another religion, in this case Islam, but maintained their heretical Kabbalistic beliefs privately. A century after Sabbatai Zevi's death, Jacob Frank, a follower of the Sabbatean movement, claimed to be Zevi's successor and also claimed to be a messianic figure. According to Rabbi Marvin Antelman, Mayor Amschel Rothschild, Adam Weishaupt, and Jacob Frank were connected in the formation of the Illuminati, a conspiracy to establish a global order through the infiltration of secret societies, such as Freemasonry. In his book, To Eliminate the Opiate, Antelman asserts that Rothschild financed both Frank and Weishaupt, motivated by a desire to control global finance, and advance a Frankist-inspired agenda for a new world order through Jesuit-like organizational structures. This alliance supposedly aimed to destroy traditional Judaism, Christianity, and traditional social structures, paving the way for movements like communism and Reform Judaism. According to Antelman, quote, "It was the founder of the Rothschild dynasty who convinced Weishaupt to accept the Frankist doctrine, and who afterward financed the Illuminati with the aim of fulfilling the Frankist plot of subverting the world's religions." The Illuminati's goals, per Antelman, included undermining world religions, abolishing monarchies, subverting national borders, and promoting a new world order through infiltration of governments and once noble secret societies. This is said to have influenced events like the French Revolution, Russian Revolution, and modern globalism, which I covered in my video, Subversive Origins of Communism, which is linked in the description. Frank's followers infiltrated Masonic lodges and converted outwardly to Christianity while secretly maintaining their beliefs, allowing them to gain influence in institutions like the Roman Church and Vatican. Antelman describes Frankism as a movement of complete evil, and labels Frank as one of the most degenerate figures in Jewish history, echoing historian Gershom Scholem's view of him as, quote, "a truly corrupt and degenerate individual, excommunicated by traditional rabbis." In 1759, Frank rejected the Talmud, and many of his followers converted to Catholicism, a move that allowed them to continue their messianic work as Catholics, noted by the reverence of the Black Madonna, which Frank perceived as a manifestation of the exiled feminine divine presence, which the Kabbalah calls Shekinah, and the Virgin Mary was his daughter, Eva Frank. She was declared the messianic leader of the Frankist sect, with some followers keeping small statues of her in their homes. While much of this information is unavailable or labeled as conspiracy theory, there are initiates and those with access to occult esoteric knowledge that have recently come forward with similar takes. Alexander Dugin is a Russian far-right political philosopher. Born into a military intelligence family, Dugin was an anti-communist dissident during the 1980s, and is sometimes referred to as Putin's brain, because of his ideological influence on Russian politics. Dugin recently posted on X, quote, "First, Rothschilds were Frankist and financed Eva Frank, daughter of Jacob Frank, that was considered to be Matronita, Shekina herself, or feminine messiah in the eyes of cult followers. Soros is part of the Frankist network. That has not much to do with Orthodox Judaism." Soros and the Democrats are essentially part of a large network. They have fundamental economic interests and subordinate politics to these economic interests. They believe it is their duty, right, and mission to reform humanity, which means forcing countries to adopt what they, from Washington, as Democrats, consider right. This leads to the world being flooded with migration and migration chaos, unleashed gender madness. Traditional families better retreat when the American Democrats come, because then there will be pride parades, rainbow flags, transgender movements, gender reassignment surgeries, and a world no longer consisting of men and women, but an unidentified number and kinds of beings. This is the second consequence, and they don't hesitate to use wars to achieve their goals, as they did with the Russian-Ukraine war. We can't allow migrants to simply make a mess of our streets. Let them enter our country without a permit. Let them be violent towards our women. This is unacceptable. Unacceptable. We can't just sit back and be legal. No, there's a solution. You can't let them in. My name is Robert Sepper. I'm an anthropologist. My published work is available on Amazon and through all other major book outlets. If you'd like to support my work, you can do that through Patreon or various links available in the description section. Please subscribe and leave me your thoughts below as I read all the comments. Stay safe, and I hope to see you again soon. I used to know somebody.